Hello, everyone, and welcome to Discover Radio, broadcasting right here from the University of Dundee campus. My name is Sally Main, and I am one of the students involved in today's radio special. And so for the next hour, you'll be listening to something a little different than what you might hear this time of day. So welcome to our show. It's called Ephemeral Radio, and it's brought to you by the Duncan F. Jordanston College of Art and Design and Discover Radio. Now, as I mentioned, I am one of the students involved in today's ephemeral radio show, and this is in fact the second year that this event has occurred. And basically what it is the students who are taking the Exploring Ephemeral Practices class at DJCAD have the opportunity to showcase some of their audio work that they've been working on that explores ephemerality. It's really excellent that we get to use the University of Dundee's own radio station, because I think it really applies to what we're learning about having, transient moments within our lives and how we can document that. And a lot of that can be through audio. So this is a really excellent opportunity for us, and we're very happy to share it over the air. So today you'll be hearing all different kinds of audio work that the students in the class have been working on. And, you know, some of them may be more literal, some of them may be a little bit more ambiguous as to how they refer to ephemerality, but you know, more or less it's an exploration of time and how we choose to define a moment. So without further ado, welcome to Ephemeral Radio, and let's get started with our first piece.
Hello everybody, my name is Eilish and I'm studying Interior and Environmental Design. This is my piece, which I use to explore themes of national identity and accent. I've entitled it People and Places.
Well, they often say that it's where you're born is where you're from, but I don't really have any strong connections to England.
Okay, so I'm from Glasgow originally. I was born in Edinburgh and lived there for a wee while, mm-hmm. and then moved through to Glasgow.
Where am I from? I'm from Scotland. I was born in Edinburgh, but I'd say I was Scottish.
I'm from East Kilbride, just outside Glasgow. It's a new town. It's one of Glasgow's new towns. It was built in the 1950s. It's got the largest indoor shopping centre in Scotland.
Well, first of all, I do consider myself to be Scottish, but I also pretty much consider myself to be slightly different insofar as I'm definitely from the Highlands of Scotland.
From Scotland, Glasgow, I guess. West End, Glasgow.
You're never quite a proper Wicker unless your grandparents, grandparents were born there. But basically, I do feel Scottish. I think it's where you grow up, really.
But there's obvious stereotypes.
Quite rough. I think everyone is... As soon as you say that you're from Glasgow, you get the whole, oh, you Celtic or Rangers.
I'm not the typical image of what a Highlander is, or a Scotsman is for that matter. A Scottish person, I think a lot of people consider to be, like, perhaps Glaswegian. And a Highlander is somebody who talks with a very fancy accent and lives out in the country with a couple of sheep and on a croft.
Even though there's really nice parts of Glasgow, everyone just thinks of the rough parts. Everyone thinks you're a bit mental if you come from Glasgow.
I'm from a very, modern part of Scotland. I'm part of obviously a city, although it's a small city.
They say that people are really friendly and like smiley and don't really care where you're from and all that kind of stuff. Living in Glasgow, I would say that same kind of thing. Like, you'd be walking down the street and people say hi if you don't even know them.
Varied. Quite a lot of different people. And it's quite diverse. Definitely diverse.
I think we see ourselves as underdogs and as such that we can identify with many other types of people as well.
Sarcastic. Very sarcastic. But really nice.
You do feel remote at times.
It's not very remarkable at first glance. It's just it's a fishing village or a host fishing village. It's kind of more when you kind of learn about the dynamics and the culture, it starts to get more interesting.
Scotland's very lively place, fun place to be.
Living in Scotland as well, you're affected by your environment. Yeah, the biggest thing I would say is that the weather affects us a lot, because the weather, and obviously in North Scotland, it can be quite wild and has a massive effect on our life.
It's big, but it's not massive compared to like other cities. Plus, if you live there all your life,
it's really interesting for me to get away from Glasgow and go other places and kind of experience different places. But I think I'd probably end up back in Glasgow. It's a place where I'm comfortable, it's a place where my family is. It's I could see myself always coming back to Glasgow.
When I'm older and settled in, back in Scotland, I wouldn't want to move.
Yeah, definitely go back.
Well, I definitely do feel that Scotland is my home.
I'd find it hard push to live many other places. I think it's got an awful lot to offer.
That was People and Places by Ailish McKay. Now, I'm sure you would have picked up by now that I don't have a Scottish accent. I am from Canada and I'm doing an exchange here for 4 months. And so for me, being able to listen to Ailish's piece that really looks at the relationship between, people and places and identity and location, and how often an accent defines someone, you know, I find that absolutely fascinating, because it's really something I don't really experience that much. What I find really interesting too in Ailish's piece is how people end up defining themselves and defining the places that they live in. And even though, you know, a city might change over time, people who are from that city still feel a connection to it and still feel in a way like they belong. There's this video piece by Rody McCannon, who is a Scottish artist, and he has a work called Love, Hate, Celtic Rangers, and it looks at children in an East Glasgow school, and they've been asked, you know, Celtic or Rangers, and all the video is a kid saying, you know, Celtic or Rangers, and the whole video describes that longing for identity, and that, you know, no matter who you are, what you are, you're gonna have a certain team that's your team, and that will definitely define who you are in a more public spectrum, whether that's school or, you know, whatever. So I think Ailish's piece definitely picked up on themes of that, of identity, even at a global level. All right, so we're going to move right along now to our next audio piece. This is a work by Jordan Meir, and he has said that this piece was captured shortly after a car crash. The sounds have been arranged in a way that tries to recreate the flipping and rolling of the vehicle for the listener upon that day. So once again, this piece is by Jordan Meir, and it is called Summer Club Banger 2012, and in brackets, Hot, Hot, Hot. You're listening to Ephemeral Radio.
Thank you.
That was Summer Club Banger 2012 by Jordan Meir. What I thought was really interesting about that work was the idea that Jordan captured something that that can actually be quite an intense moment for someone. Obviously, a car crash is a pretty horrific thing that can happen to somebody, and you know, what an interesting thing to capture as far as an audio piece. It also made me think about how in a moment like that, you know, you're so jostled, you're so sort of thrown out of your comfort zone, and I think sound is probably one of the first senses that you kind of, you know, gain consciousness of again. And I feel like Jordan did a really excellent job at describing that sort of oscillation between, you know, being aware and not aware, and being overthrown by the feeling of obviously being in a car crash, but also the things around you, such as those noises. I think what I found effective in Jordan's piece as well is the fact that he described a moment where I think most of us would first think of seeing that scene, or feeling what it would be like to be in that moment, in that car crash. Instead of using, of course, a visual narrative or an actual sensory, like a feeling narrative, Jordan used sound as a means to recreate a moment. What I also found quite evocative about the piece was this sense of fragmentation and misunderstanding of time passing. I think in moments where you've been really dislodged out of any perception of reality, time is kind of, well, it's like escaped from you. And perhaps that's just, you know, sensory overload, or just the body saying, I can't handle this. But regardless, time seems to sort of be irrelevant in a moment like that. As artists, too, I think that we have the power to choose what the viewer gets to experience in a piece and how much information they can get from a piece. By choosing to only use sound, for example, to explain a moment or recreate a scene, you're really allowing the viewer to explore that work and to have their own perceptions play a part in that, in their experience. So that, again, was a piece by Jordan Meir titled Summer Club Banger 2012. All right, so we have up next a short radio play by Ed Humphrey called The Tenants. John, Flo, and David are living in shared accommodation when an act of vandalism threatens their insulated existence. The actors are Zoe Farrell, Ed Humphrey, Tom Cameron, and Ryan Essen. Once again, you're listening to Ephemeral Radio, and this is The Tenants by Ed Humphrey.
Did you see? The window's broken down there, on the staircase.
Yes, David did it.
Our David?
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
He had a bad turn, thumped it.
What do you mean, a bad turn?
Woman trouble.
Woman trouble?
His woman.
Yes.
Gave him some trouble.
Oh.
She got with another man, in front of him. He took it out on the window. Not a very smart move, if you ask me.
Is he all right?
He cut his hand.
Did he have to go to hospital?
I put a plaster on it.
Had you gone out with him?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you stop him?
I stayed at the club, dancing. He got chucked out early for punching someone.
Who?
The chap who was talking to his girl. It's a bit off, isn't it?
Too right it's off. Who's going to fix the window? I've got a good mind to phone the police.
I don't think that would be wise, do you?
Well...
Given the circumstances?
Well, I don't think he should just get away with it.
Well, let's see how he is when he comes down, then we can start thinking about sorting him out.
Did Chloe come home?
Yes, in a way.
What do you mean?
She was quite a mess. He took to her as well when she got in. Lamped her across the room. A proper mess.
Oh, God.
She needed quite a bit of comforting.
Oh, you didn't. You're as bad as him. You're all terrible.
The situation compelled it. What would you have me do, let her freeze in the street?
She could have taken the sofa.
The thought never occurred to me. It was all very heat of the moment. My part was minimal anyway. He's the real villain.
John?
Yes?
It's well hidden, isn't it? You're...
Yes, of course it is. Put it out of your mind.
Good, because you know what it would mean if it was discovered.
Out of your mind, get it? I am concerned about the police, though.
Yeah.
I want you to do something, Flo, in case they come today. Have them a cup of tea ready, will you? Your special blend? See it as a safety measure.
Afternoon.
Hello, David. How are you?
I've been better.
You have, haven't you?
John told you that.
Yes, he did. Why do you do these things? Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Let's not talk about it now. Let's wait until later when John comes down. We need to make sure no more trouble comes of this.
I am sorry, you know. I don't know what got into me.
I know you are, but I think John is more worried about the police. Whatever you do, don't drink this tea.
Oh, hello, officer.
Hello, Mr. Wen.
Mr. Wen is the landlord. My name is Franks, John Franks.
And do you live here, Mr. Franks?
With two other tenants, yes.
Good. Well, I wonder if I could come in and have a word with you.
Of course. What's it about?
May I come in, sir?
Where are my manners? Can I offer you a cup of tea? Florence has just made a pot.
Yes, that would be lovely. I'm sure you'll be aware of the broken stained glass window on the stairwell. We spoke to the woman on the floor below, and she reported rather a lot of commotion coming from here last night. It's usually yobs that are responsible for this sort of damage, but it's always good to rule out any alternatives.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Drink up, officer.
Hello.
That's a nasty cut, sir.
Slice of cake, officer.
No, thank you. Where did you get a cut like that in your hand, lad?
He's a boxer, sir. Likes to box. Catch him at the gym every Thursday. Knock him cold, don't you, lad?
Thank you. But if you'd let the boy answer, I'd rather...
I box.
Only there was quite a commotion here the other night, and I wonder if you didn't take your fist to that lovely window on the staircase.
You making an accusation?
It's Jamaica cake, officer.
You seem a strong fellow. Where were you on the night in question?
Excuse me?
Perhaps a sandwich.
I just point out there's as much evidence for you as him.
Hang about.
Cup of tea?
What are you trying to pull here?
That corpse you planted last year in your garden, has it begun to sprout?
Spurs are 8-1 on now.
Do you have any idea what you're talking about, officer?
Right, that's it. I've got a good mind to arrest a lot of you.
One swallow does not make spring, officer.
Shall I box?
Finish your tea, Mr. Smith. Wakey, wakey, officer. Here you go. Have a drop of water. You fainted.
Are you all right, officer?
Your hat fell off.
I expect you'll be wanting to carry on with your rounds now.
Yes, sorry about this. It's never happened before.
Never you mind about that. He was no bother, was he, John?
None at all. Here's that contribution towards a new window.
Oh, the window. Yes.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, how generous.
Yes, thank you very much, officer. Best of luck with the manhunt.
Thank you.
Thank you, officer.
Bye, officer.
Oh, John, that was great.
Thanks, John.
Time for a celebration?
Not so fast, Davy. I'm afraid you still need to be punished.
Oh, but John.
Oh, John, do we have to?
Rules of the house, I'm afraid, Flo. Rules of the house. Drink up. There's a good lad.
Welcome back to Ephemeral Radio. That last piece was by Ed Humphrey and was called The Tenants. Now, in our studio class, we actually had a day where we dedicated ourselves to learning about radio and the history of radio. And we began to sort of look at the ways in which radio really served a purpose in history at one point, and it was honestly a main source, of course, for information, especially during wartime. And, you know, it was used as a means to entertain people, and that was through music, and of course, later on, it was through radio plays. And nowadays, we use, I think, the means of television more than anything to have stories played out for us. And in some ways, radio plays are almost more effective, I think, in allowing us to imagine scenes and characters. And there's a certain richness that is lost, I think, when we get to see all of that in television. You know, there's no room for our imagination in describing what maybe the scene would look like or what those characters are wearing. Even the looks that those characters would give each other in a moment of, you know, confusion or dismay, you know, that's all given to us in television. Whereas in radio, it allows us to really get involved in what's happening. Not to say that you can't get, you know, emotionally involved in a film or a TV show or even the news for that matter. It's just that I think radio gives room for the imagination to be a little bit more involved. And I think that's specifically because not everything is just laid out for us. This makes me think, too, that Ed's piece is quite similar in a way to the last piece we listened to by Jordan, in a sense that things are left out. Things are left out so the viewer or the, you know, the listener can piece the work together and to really sort of personalize that experience of listening to that work. Now, Ed has actually given me a couple references in regards to how his piece came about, and he said that his piece is inspired by Dennis Potter's Singing Detective, Harold Pinter, who is an English playwright, screenplay writer, and the old Harry Hill show. So I think out of those three references, I'm really intrigued by Harold Pinter particularly. Harold Pinter, as I mentioned, was a playwright, and I think he died about 2 years ago or so, around Christmas time. But anyway, he is most well known for his absurdist plays. Now, other famous playwrights that came out of that time would include playwrights like Samuel Beckett or Eugene Ionesco or even Fernando Arbel. Anyway, for those of you who are not quite sure what that absurdist theater genre is, it basically refers to the belief that human existence has no meaning or purpose, and therefore sort of all communication breaks down. Now, when I think of the dialogue that sort of occurred within Ed's piece, I actually get a real sort of absurdist and surreal sense. And especially with those really excellent and really sort of wonderful sound effects that occur when, you know, they're describing that moment when the policeman sort of falls unconscious or whatever. You know, it's very absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And the ways in which the characters choose to, you know, evaluate the scene and the you know, interactions with the policeman, it's all very nonchalant. You know, they don't seem to actually care, you know, at all. And it almost sort of seems that this idea of, yes, serving tea is a repetitive action, and this kind of thing happens all the time, which definitely plays into the ideas of nonsense that absurdist theater is very much about. I think Ed's piece, too, just in another light, really captures a sense of life and relationships between human beings. And no matter how absurd they sort of come off perhaps in that radio play, I think there's a real sense of evaluation and perception of one another. Now, looking at the actual history of radio plays, there's been a few in history that have really sort of stood out. And I think that's partly because of the reaction that the listeners had listening to the pieces, and also I think the pieces themselves maybe questioned larger social issues. I think one of the more well-known pieces would be War of the Worlds, which came out in 1938 and was directed by Orson Welles. Now, this radio play was actually a part of a series called The Mercury Theatre on the Air. And this episode was performed for Halloween of 1938. The first two-thirds of the 60-minute broadcast were presented as a series of simulated news bulletins, which suggested to many listeners that an actual alien invasion by Martians was currently in progress. Because the theater, Mercury Theater on the Air, was actually a sustaining show, which means there was no commercial breaks, it actually gave the listeners, a sense of realism, and that, you know, perhaps these news broadcasts and, you know, information about the Martians coming to Earth were actually accurate and were actually real. It was really hard for them to be able to decipher whether it was part of the show or whether it was an actual, you know, interruption in the normal program. So when this happened, there was actually a bit of supposed panic that occurred in response to the broadcast. And it really brought to light how much radio could influence the people who were listening, and how important that information that the public could receive off of the air was to them. And this idea that the information they would be gathering is almost their only way of knowing what is actually happening at a global level. So I think those involved in radio broadcasting, after the War of the Worlds was played, they became very cognizant of the effects, perhaps, that radio plays could have on the public. That idea that this story, although supposedly would be fictional, could have elements of realism to them, and that in a public spectrum, that information that broadcasting would be saying, you know, the public could respond to it in a very real way. The reaction that's come out of War of the Worlds and other radio plays that played with the idea of fiction and real life has definitely inspired contemporary radio broadcasters, or even artists who are working in the audio field. One piece that we looked at as a class was actually created in 2011, and it was titled Romeo Echo Delta, and it was a sound project by Ian Forsyth and Jane Pollard, and was produced especially for AND Festival. It was inspired by a long line of hoax alien invasions and fake UFO scares, but most importantly by Orson Welles' radio broadcasting War of the Worlds. So the work was broadcasted by BBC Radio Merseyside on the 31st of October 2011, and was actually accompanied by an ominous red light in the night sky above Birkenhead. Dense with speculation and confusion and repetition, the transmission began with the arrival of a studio guest, X Factor finalist Maria Lawson. So her interview was actually interrupted with the breaking news of this unexplained red light. So their piece was definitely plugging into that old age fascination with the red planet and the possibility of Earth invasion from another world. I'd say that Forsyth and Pollard sort of aimed to maybe like unpick the nature of contemporary reporting, where breaking news stories were frequently caught in a suspended limbo before any real facts emerged. There are two versions of this work, actually, because version A that they made was rejected by the BBC editorial policy board. They deemed it was too realistic and, you know, likely to induce panic in their listeners, which is, you know, quite what happened when they had War of the Worlds play. So, you know, following edits and re-recording, there was a version that came out that was produced and aired. And that one was deemed to be a little bit, perhaps less realistic. So yeah, the history of radio plays and their extent to which they've influenced the public is quite rich, and I think it's probably going to continue to be, because obviously there is this fascination that we have with depicting, you know, fiction as reality, and radio works so well to convey that. And even if the stories, you know, appear absurd or a little bit, you know, out of this world, such as, you know, Ed's piece, The Tenants, or, you know, War of the Worlds, or Romeo Echo Delta, it at least allows the public's sense of reality and time to be suspended for a moment and imagine themselves in situations like that, or in the case of Romeo Echo Delta or War of the Worlds, question their own lives. Very powerful stuff, I think. Our next piece on ephemeral radio also looks at ways that we can perceive information. However, I think this piece is a lot more voyeuristic and fragmented. The next sound piece we have coming up for you today was created by artist and designer Chloe Henderson. Her piece is titled The Walk Home, and she describes it as this. Chloe lives in student accommodation with a dodgy heating system and is always incredibly warm, so her window is always wedged open. Her window looks out onto the busy Hawk Hill Road. One insomnia-riddled night, the inspiration for her sound piece floated in through the open window. The Walk Home is a composed collection taken from the recordings of the little snippets of conversations that Chloe hears as people pass her bedroom window. It's a beautiful glimpse into the stray thoughts of the average Dundonian as they stumble happily home from their nighttime adventures. This is Ephemeral Radio, and you're listening to The Walk Home by Chloe Henderson.
Splash, splash, I was taking it down. But they can't do
I did the course, but I didn't graduate from it. I got my money back because I told them that I'd been so in the back. So we didn't want money back.
That was The Walk Home by Chloe Henderson. Now, I found that piece to be quite intriguing, mostly because she has found a way to really fragment the series of audio clips. And it's very voyeuristic, you know, there's this sense that she is just on the other side of that glass, and as the night progresses, she's hearing all of these little bits of conversation and dialogue and sounds. There's a real sense of timelessness presented in Chloe's work, and I think part of that is because I would say the majority of people have had an evening out with their friends, and that association with time and, you know, the duration of that evening kind of escapes you in the moment. And although during an evening it may seem like time is non-existent and you're getting on with the people who you're spending time with, you know, it's only until you're walking home or heading home at the end of the evening that you kind of realize time again, and there's a sense of reflection and gathering your thoughts, or lack of thoughts, depending on how much alcohol you've had. I think Chloe's piece really captures that sense of dialogue that occurs among friends, or even those footsteps that are walking past her window. You know, we get a sense of conclusion and a realization that, yes, the night is coming to an end. I think that awareness of time, too, is really reiterated by the subtle heartbeat that occurs in the last bit of that audio piece. I think, like a clock, in a way, the heartbeat can really cause us to become aware of ourselves and aware of ourselves within time. It is, in a way, a measurement of a moment. I think, you know, if you think about a heartbeat really speeding up or slowing down, or even that sort of palpitation, I mean, that is a perfectly adequate representation of time passing. What I think is really effective about using that heartbeat as well is the fact that Chloe has been listening to these people who are very separate from her in a, you know, social context, in an actual physical context. They're both existing in their own worlds at that moment. And yet, that simple recording of a heartbeat brings to light the idea that we are all connected and we all are existing within the same parameters of time. And that presence of a heart beating or a clock ticking reminds us that we exist and that our lives are just a series of moments that make up who we are. I think Chloe's piece too brought to light some of our ideas surrounding youth. And I feel like there is this idea of immortality that really ties itself to youth. And I know that I've spoken with, you know, my grandparents and even my parents about this, but youth for them was very much this time of feeling invincible, and that the world is laid out in front of you and you have so much to live for and to experience. I think that the concept of youth is very idolized these days as well. And I think even within a broader context, such as advertising and the ways in which we gather information, you know, it's all directed to that sense of immortality and essence of youth being able to escape time. I'd be curious to know whether anyone who listened to that last piece felt sort of a pang of nostalgia for youth, or even a sadness knowing that those kind of evenings are quite specific, I think, to being in your 20s or even 30s. And once they're over, you know, it's very hard to relive them. I think humans have a tendency to look for ways in which they can connect themselves to the past. And I think that's very much about finding ways to justify our existence and to be able to measure time in a more cohesive sense. I think, too, it's very much about holding on to moments when we felt more than anything like we belonged. All right, so next up here, we actually have an audio piece that I made. It's titled Christmas Past. And yeah, as I mentioned, I am an exchange student. I'm traveling over here for 4 months and I'm from Canada originally. So being over here has got me really interested in my ancestry and my heritage. And more importantly, I guess, my family roots here from Britain. So my piece, I guess, describes the relationship that I have with my past and how the people in my past that I am connected to, although I've never met, have really sort of defined who I am today in one way or another. My piece is compiled by using actual reels that were sent over from Canada to England and back during the Christmas holidays between the 1950s to the 1970s. I'm very lucky to have these reels because they really are, you know, sort of a key to the past. So I've used these reels in a way to describe just past experience and a sense of belonging, because I think for me, being over here, miles away from my home, I've really begun to question the idea of belonging. And for me, much of that comes from my family and my heritage. So once again, you're listening to Ephemeral Radio, and this is Christmas Past.
Hello, Auntie Blargie and Nunky. Now they're laughing at me. It's such a long time since we've done any taping that we've got really rusty at it. But we're going to tape off some films for you, but we thought we'd give you a little introduction first, with Jeremy doing a number on the guitar. And this is called Lamplighting Time in the Valley.
Some singing on this tape, perhaps you'll recognise it, but I don't, although I think I do. I think it may have been one of the old tapes that seems to hang there while we're going along. At any rate, that's besides the point. As you might gather from the tapes, that we had a pretty good time. It sounds a little bit of a pub crawl, but it wasn't like that at all. I guess it's the lack of music that makes it feel like that, but everybody had quite a good time. Your mother and I had a wonderful day, really. And you'll find there's quite a lot of coughing interspersed with singing, various things, but that's old Bert. He has quite a good attempt at having a darn good sing, but in the end he breaks down with his cough, but at any rate, his heart's willing if his cough's not, so. Tonight mother and I have been going through the sailing list, and it looks about that there might be a convenient boat on the Empress line in the end of April, somewhere about April 29th, I think it is roughly, and going to say at the beginning of May. Now, we haven't 100% decided on that boat. We're conning it over, and we should have to book up within the next day or two, and By the way, when you write back next, Jeff, I think we'll take it to Liverpool. That'd be the best way, I guess. It's better than going right down to Southampton. So you might give us the best idea of the way the trains run from Liverpool to Darwin. I imagine it'd be a rugby or crew change business. I don't know much about that cross-country business, but I imagine we could save about 200 miles by going to Liverpool. But anyway, give us a dope when you ride again, and we're quite looking forward to the trip. It seems a long way off at present, but I guess the months soon go round, and before we know where we are, we'll be on the train and the boat coming along towards home. So
welcome back to Ephemeral Radio. That was my piece titled Christmas Past. So yeah, once again, I'm someone who is very drawn to my heritage and to my ancestry, and I'm really fascinated with the feelings surrounding belonging. And I think a lot of the time we find ways to feel like we belong through nostalgia. Nostalgia in general, I think, is a really interesting topic, you know. If you think about it, we're never really nostalgic for the bad times. There's something very ideal and pristine about, you know, our past experiences that we hold on to. You know, you think about Christmas, for example, and, you know, sometimes you have really crappy Christmases and it's not, you know, not the best of times, but more often than not, I think we hold on to the times that were, you know, quite magical. So for me, that piece was very much about connecting back to those moments that were probably very magical for those people in that time. And I somehow now feel a real sense of belonging by listening to those reels. So yeah, I had a lot of fun putting that together, and, you know, again, sort of exploring my own nostalgia with something that I actually never really even experienced. Maybe it's pseudo-nostalgia, I'm not sure. I have a really interesting quote here about nostalgia in general, which I think is a very ephemeral thing to begin with, and I'd just like to share it with you, actually. It's by the artist, her name is Hannah Marsden, and this is the quote. Nostalgia is an ambitious concept with boundaries and effects that are hard to pin down. Nostalgia is a personal impulse drawing from individual memory and desire. Nostalgia is collectively induced, is manipulative, and is recycled. Nostalgia strengthens bonds with our shared history and perpetuates social identities. Nostalgia encourages false memories that destabilize understanding of history and reality. Nostalgia is comforting and healing. Nostalgia is a desire without the possibility of fulfillment. Nostalgia produces enjoyment and lifts the spirit. Nostalgia is a product of loss and displacement. Nostalgia is at once a representation and a misrepresentation. Nostalgia is a romance with fantasy. So once again, that is a quote by the artist Hannah Marsden. And I found quite a bit of what she says there to be quite pertinent to what I am looking at exploring in my work. A lot of that comes from the idea of, you know, how nostalgia encourages false memory. And yeah, that it destabilizes an understanding of history and reality. And I think that comes down to the individual perception of a moment and how that perception will differ for every single person, and thus that memory will also differ. So for me to be using material that's from the past and recreating it in a present context is very much a manipulative way of dealing with past context for an experience. But nonetheless, I find it pretty fascinating to do, and also very interesting for me to just sort of imagine, of course, what that time was like for those people. All right. Well, that is actually the conclusion of work for our ephemeral radio day here at Discover Radio. I'd just like to shout out to Andy here, who is the manager of Discover Radio, and of course our teachers Pernilla Spence and Mark Vernon, who are our tutors for the Exploring Ephemeral Practices class. This has been a really excellent opportunity for us to showcase our work and to be able to have a discussion about some of the things that connect ephemerality to radio, and even in a broader context, how ephemera can play such a large part in our perception of ourselves, of time passing, and how those two things can relate to one another. So once again, I'd just like to remind everyone of the works we heard today. First, we had People and Places by Ailish McKay, followed by Summer Club Banger 2012 by Jordan Meir. Next, we had Ed Humphrey's piece The Tenants, followed by Chloe Henderson's work called The Walk Home. And finally, we finished with my piece called Christmas Past. And last but not least, I would like to thank everybody who has had a chance to listen to today's special of Ephemeral Radio. It's an absolute treat for us to be able to showcase our work live across the air, and it's been a pleasure talking about all of the works as well. And once again, my name is Sally Main. I have been your host today for Ephemeral Radio, and thanks again for listening.